Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a lady who's accomplished a lot. Her brand is very well known, but she says she likes to remain in the sidelines. Sarika Panda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure.
Sarika is the co-founder of Rahagiri, which is India's longest running urban movement. And I think based on what I have seen, she's brought thousands and thousands of citizens out on the roads to be able to do things they enjoy doing. And this is not coming out on the roads to do demonstrations. She's also associated with India Vision Zero, which is a road safety of pedestrians and cyclists. She was recognized as one of the 40 most remarkable women in the transport sector in the world. And of course, academically, she's a bachelor in architecture and master in sociology. Sarika, tell me a little bit about your early life.
Ashutosh, I actually belong to a very backward district in Odisha, which is called Kalahandi district. I'm from a government school, and I proudly say that because that's what every country should provide to their citizens, a good public education system. And that time, fortunately, we were having that kind of facility, especially in Odisha. The government schools were quite good, and we were not so privileged to have a lot of private schools that time. And so I studied in a government school in Kalahandi districts, a small town called Bhavani Patna. It's the district headquarter. And from there, actually, my journey started. I always, from my childhood, I was called tomboy or a fighter or wanted to do something unique kind. So many things, actually. I was the first one who started wearing jeans in my city.
Wow.
I was the first one who started riding a two-wheeler in my city. So something always, I don't know it is genetic or not. My grandmother was also cut like that. So always
so
try to do
something. You showed the way to a lot of young girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, in my family only we are four sisters. And one brother. So after me, all my other two sisters, I'm the second one. So other two sisters also came along with me when I moved out from my town to do my higher studies. So that is how my journey started. And because of my grandmother's help, actually I moved out from the house to do my bachelor's in architecture. So there the whole journey started, actually.
And from architecture to sociology. Big change.
Yes. So architecture, I did it accidentally, I must say. So in childhood, I always wanted to be an IPS officer. So my district collector was that time a lady police officer. And that time this famous, you know, movie show came called Udaan, where this female SP, very like, you know, you can see that kind of how she is fighting with this evil society and all that. And it always attracted me. But unfortunately, because of many things, I could not. Though I was the NCC captain of my school, my district and all that, things happened. But unfortunately, I get that opportunity. But architecture, accidentally, because my father said, oh, you are very good in drawing. So that time there is no, I realized after that, that there is no link of drawing and architecture. That if you are a good artist, you will be a good architecture. There is no correlation. But I joined architecture and really liked, started liking it. I become my, one of the passion that, because it's again creative thing. So I started liking the whole subject, course and designing new things and all that. But then I did my master's in planning, actually, in between, before sociology. I did my master's in planning from School of Planning and Architecture. And I started working for a year or two. And then I realized that planning and society, like the whole city, you cannot be, you know, think individually. Because what we are planning is impacting the society. So then I thought of knowing little more about the sociology of the, you know, the subject and how it can be correlated to my whole work. And then I did my master and the whole perspective changed actually. And then I never looked back to working in a corporate world. Though right now I'm working with a corporate, but just because the work that I am doing, they're supporting that. That's
very interesting. So let's talk about Rahagiri. You know, tell me, what was your thinking jab aapne isko shuru kiya?
जब मैं गुड़गांव शिफ्ट हुई, वी शिफ्टेड ऑलमोस्ट 9-10 ईयर्स बैक, एंड बिफोर दैट वी आर इन दिल्ली, एंड इन दिल्ली नेवर यूज कार. ओके, वट एवर पब्लिक ट्रांसपोर्ट सिस्टम वी आई से दैट इज पुअर और वट एवर, इट्स द बैकबोन ऑफ दिल्ली. एंड वी एज अ स्टूडेंट, आफ्टर स्टूडेंट ऑल्सो एज अ फैमिली, to my work I was using public transport system. Initially it was bus, and then metro came, and then metro buses, cycle rickshaw, auto rickshaw, whatever. Never used car. Then we shifted to Gurgaon, bought a house and shifted to Gurgaon, and it became a, like, you know, it's an alien city for me. In fact, this township that I stay, if I have to go for a buying a bread also, I have to go for a kilometer. And then I realized how I'm going to commute. Okay, 1 kilometer walking one time is fine and all that. Then I bought a cycle and I started cycling in this city.
Okay.
And then I realized that how difficult and unsafe cycling is. And then I met like-minded people here. Prabhat, first time I met Prabhat actually. Him himself was cycling. Then we start meeting Latika and Rajesh Kalra, Manas, Dhup, and Manit, who actually co-founded Rahagiri, and met these people. And then we thought of, you know, doing something. And we started doing a small campaign with Heritage School, with the grade 7 students, started mentoring the students. And then we did this expedition with them called How Cyclable and Walkable Gurgaon Is.
I see.
And the student did a in-depth research, you know, and came out with a proper project report and all that. And we went to the Gurgaon administration, to the police commissioner, to the DC and the municipal commissioner with that report. And we told them this is the data, you know, that 50% people in this city are walking and cycling, and the mobility plan itself says that, and they didn't believe it. They said that we don't believe it, because if we provide passage to Gurgaon people, they can take their car till their bedroom. And then they didn't even believe that only 8% people have cars in the city.
Wow.
Because when we asked, they said 70%, 80%. This is what generally people, when we ask how many percent of the people have cars in this in Gurgaon, everybody says that 70%.
And it's only 8%.
And it is just 8%. Wow. Okay, and then we try to convince them, try to discuss with them that we need more and more inclusive streets, which is for people and not for cars, and we need lot of walking infrastructure, and of course cycling and public transport system. But somehow we were not able to convince the engineering department to build some roads where we are giving facility for pedestrians, and still we are debating. It's been 7 years and still we are debating actually that this city needs more and more walkable infrastructure than car-centric infrastructure. So then we thought, let's demonstrate it, if people want it or not. Because they challenge that if you provide roads till their bedroom, they will take their car till bedroom. So this whole Rahagiri kind of concept has started in Latin America in Bogota. Okay. It's called Ciclovia.
Okay.
And they also started with the same thing. The city fabric was, you know, going down in terms of road safety and air quality. And in that particular year, around 400 kids got killed due to road traffic crashes who were cycling and walking to school. So they started with this whole campaign and, you know, closing
some roads
and only walking and cycling. And it started with a demonstration kind of thing, but it became a bigger public movement. And still they are doing it. It's been almost 60 years and Bogota is still doing every Sunday the Ciclovia. They also started with same 3 kilometer. We started with 4 kilometer near this Galleria. And they also started with 3 kilometer, but now they do it in 180 kilometer across city, so that every neighborhood is enjoying Ciclovia. They just come out, they cycle, skate, and like, you know, whatever we also try to promote. And the concept, the administration really liked it. We showed them some videos that, see, this is what is Ciclovia and it's a new thing. And one good part of Gurgaon is whatever new concept we actually take them to, and they're not very deceptive out of it, like, they, let's try. And we tried it. We said that if it fails, we will close it. First Sunday, around 10,000 people.
Wow.
And nobody was having clue what is Rahagiri is. Even we were like, we were also, it was tried and tested for us also, right? Like, okay, let's try and how it comes out.
Yeah.
If 2,000 people comes, we will celebrate it as a success. And we saw Sunday morning, 10,000 people, whole streets are actually full of people. We saw people with wheelchair, people coming with their pets and all that, what we actually was looking forward for. And that's how the whole Rahagiri started.
You know, when I first saw, and we've been living in Gurgaon for 20 years, I said, ki, baat to sab karte hai, ki, you know, we should do this, we should do this. But someone like you and your co-founders actually took the decision to do it.
Yes.
So what were some of the challenges you faced? Aapne decide kiya isko?
Challenges, first to convince the administration, that is, that was the biggest challenge that we overcome after showing them a lot of data, continuous meeting and all that. Second challenges is doing the, getting the activity partners on board. That was also a lot of challenges, because if we don't want to feel and, like, you know, get into that fight of, you know, we are biased with someone or not biased, like all this kind of discussions has started. So what we thought of, you know, engaging a lot of civic society group. That was also a challenge. As you know, in Bin Gurgaon, a lot of people wanted to do good work and doing good work, but basically there is this thing, say, if somebody is doing something, we try to back each other. But this was a new concept, so everybody was like, why kind? Why you went to do? Because that time also, whosoever we were asking for the support, they all moved by car, right? Because they're like, how can you close the road? How people are going to look? So all these challenges. Then convincing the nearby RWAs was the biggest challenge, because they were like, how we are going to move? And if some emergency happens, somebody has to go to hospital or some fire breaks or something like that, how you are going to deal with it? But we were well planned. So we were having experts and all that who know the traffic management, WRA was on the board, who has done this in Bogota and all that. So we said that we will have proper traffic management plan. No citizens who are traveling by vehicle will get any kind of disturbance. Definitely not. So, and this route was quite good. So, that is how we tried to convince. We went to each and our RWA one-on-one to discuss them, to explain them. And we said, this is for a few hours on Sundays. Let's try.
Yeah.
And if it is, we are not success, if the event is not successful, then we can definitely. So, then that is how the challenges we try to overcome.
And I see, I see a lot of children.
Yes.
Yes. I think for them, suddenly this whole thing has opened up.
Exactly. They are the driving force, actually. Because, see, I said that it started with children. They did this expedition. And they said they wanted to cycle to their school. Many children said that we just stay 2 kilometers away from our school and we just can't walk or cycle. So all these things, actually, they are the driving force, because they were the one who were able to convince their parents that let's do it.
Amazing. So, Sarika, let's move to the second part of the program, which is, you know, Vision Zero. Tell me a little bit about this.
So, Ashutosh, as through Rahagiri only. This whole Rahagiri, we started because of, talking about and sharing the knowledge about safety of pedestrian and cyclist. Mm-hmm. Why one should walk and cycle, and one thing. And other thing is safety of the pedestrian and cyclist. As I told you already, that any Indian city you go, 50% of the people walk. And around 10 to 12% of the people cycle. Because many people take public transport also. If you are taking any mode of public transport system, then your last mile is walking.
Hmm.
Right? Either you are taking the auto rickshaw also, your last mile is walking. So, we realize that, how many people are getting killed in Gurgaon. Again, it started in Gurgaon actually, then we look into the data, and of course we have the Indian data also that more than 2 lakh people get killed every year and almost 400 people every day.
My goodness.
And in every 3 minutes one person getting killed. So by the time we will finish our discussion, 10 people been already so get killed in our in Indian country. Road. Every day 50 children get killed in our Indian road. So this is what we call is actual epidemic, because it's an WHO declared it as one of the leading cause of unnatural death, and it's an epidemic, and we need to treat it as an epidemic.
Okay.
But what we realize that there is no seriousness about this subject, because if it is not happening to you or your near and dear ones, then you don't realize that this is something very serious. And again, if you look into the data, so just all because of this data, okay, and I have my personal experience also. So I have lost 2 of my immediate cousins, my bade papa's, both the sons has been got killed in road traffic crashes.
Mm-hmm.
One of our very close friend's son, who was also close friend to us, we brought up together, got killed due to road traffic crash. And recently my sister's father-in-law, so was just crossing 2-lane road in front of his house, and his speedy vehicle crashed him. So all this personal story. So I have a lot of personal stories, and I think all of us has. If I ask in a room to raise hand that how many people have not lost any of their near and dear ones, either friend or distant friend or relative in road traffic crashes, believe me, not even 1%. Everybody has a story. Okay, and it's a really painful story when you so there I like the whole journey working in the road safety started actually, because I have witnessed a lot of this pain in my own family. And so Vision Zero is basically not a single person should get killed. Why even one? Like again we ask, so if we ask someone, what is the percentage that you are thinking to reduce? There is a 20%, 30%. Why? What about the other 70%? Right?
Why not zero?
Why not zero? So all these things, the whole Vision Zero started with that. So again, my previous organization where I was working, WRI, they are one of the organization who is working globally on road safety area. And there we launched this India Vision Zero program. Vision Zero started from Sweden actually, 30 years back.
Okay.
And there they said that definitely we are not taking it, that somebody is getting killed due to someone's mistake. And it is someone's mistake. Either it is an engineer's mistake or a driver's mistake or whatever. It's someone's mistake who is killing someone.
Correct.
So they started this Vision Zero concept in Sweden. And after that, I think more than 100 cities across globe has started Vision Zero program. So we said, if you want to address road safety, then we need to adopt Vision Zero principle.
Okay.
So there are 4 principles of Vision Zero. First thing they said is safety first, not traffic.
Okay.
Because here what we compromise the safety because of easing the traffic. those cars would move fast. Mm. The car people should not be get any trouble. They should not be stuck in any intersection. So, in because of that, we compromise in our infrastructure and safety measures. Mm. Like if there is a traffic jam in an intersection, we will remove all the footpaths and widen the road and we do that, right? So, we're compromising. So, Vision Zero says safety first. Second thing, they say the forgiving infrastructure.
Okay.
They say the first, the second thing what you have to do is infrastructure that you are developing is a leading, so it is basically helping you to reduce your traffic. If a human is doing mistake, it should not lead to any death.
Correct.
If you are correcting your infrastructure, you are designing the infrastructure in a right way. So that is called forgiving infrastructure. So third thing is everyone's responsibility, the road engineering department and the road users.
Correct.
So we do the blame game. So road safety means we always think that it's police, but no, there are almost 22 departments who are involved in road safety issues. Forest, like, you know, many crashes we have seen in highways because of over vegetation.
Okay.
They create blind spots. So many things. So even forest, education department to create awareness and all these things. So it's like everyone's responsibility, the road engineers and the road users. And fourth is coordinated approach. Okay. So this is what we lack. Both in every sector. Like, you know, if you are not, even you can cannot run a family if you are not doing it in a very coordinated way, right?
Correct.
Same thing. So every department has to sit together and work, you know, and work together to address this epidemic.
Very interesting.
That is how the Vision Zero, India Vision Zero started, and then after a year we launched Haryana Vision Zero.
Okay.
So again, this is a big thing because any other countries, they are doing Vision Zero very city specific, but in Haryana they said they will do it in state level. And we started 2017, the Honorable Chief Minister of Haryana launched this Haryana Vision Zero program. We started with 10 districts, the most critical districts who are away. So for your, like, you know, for everyone's knowledge, in Haryana itself, we lose around 5,000 people every year. And it is not just 5,000 people, 11,000 people get permanently disabled. So 20,000 family is getting impacted because of every year due to this road crashes.
Wow.
So again, we don't call it accident because it is not accident.
Okay.
It's an incident of someone's, because accident means bhagwan ne chaha tha. Bhagwan nahi chahte hain ye, and hum bhi nahi chahte hain. So it's an incident, unfortunate incident actually, and we launched this program with the help of the government of Haryana, because they took this ownership. So far in 2.5 years, we were able to save some 400 lives in Haryana.
Amazing.
And we try to improve a lot of infrastructure. Gurgaon, definitely we need more and more. It's again a very critical and very different dynamic challenges we have in Gurgaon. So still, we need to work hard in Gurgaon. And again, I must say that road safety is not for 1 year or 2 year or 3 year program. It has to be a continuous project.
Correct.
Still the time we achieve this zero.
Correct.
So Sweden is doing it from 30 years. So sometimes people ask me, 400 is nothing. Or when in our first one and a half year, we were able to save some 225. To, like, if you calculate in percentage, it's just 5%. 5% is not something we can, market about it. It's like, it's not about marketing. If we are saving one life through this program, is what we say is that we have done something. So this is so far the outcome of the program, and we are still doing it.
Amazing. And I guess a big role has to be played by each one of us.
Absolutely.
As citizens, isn't
absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I find that no matter how much the authorities do, until I am disciplined on the road, and I don't drive on the wrong side.
Yes.
So isn't there need to educate?
Definitely. So what we say that, you know, it's the four E's. Now we are saying it five E's to address road safety. Most important is definitely education. But before that, what we have to do is fixing the engineering and doing better enforcement. And what we have realized through this whole process is if you are doing good engineering, then the behavior also change accordingly. And then the enforcement also, the process also become easy. For example, if you are placing a zebra crossing in a right place, okay, people automatically stop before zebra crossing. The problem is that we are not designing a proper zebra crossing. So that is also something, you know, we need to look into. And of course, education is very, very important, especially engaging the youth. And they are the one who are dying. Again, if I give you the statistics, 70% people who are getting killed is between age group of 18 to 45.
Oh my God.
So the youth of the nation, the youth of the country is actually dying because of this
all this incident.
And mostly it's male and the breadwinner of the family, the only breadwinner of the family kind. So because of this, we are losing 3% of our GDP every year.
Wow.
And
those are very, very stark, startling numbers.
Exactly. See, the 3% of the GDP, the amount is like around some 4.55 lakhs crore. And that is our annual budget for the education of the country. Yeah. So if you see the whole thing, it is not about the one person getting killed. It has the whole socio-economic impact. It is not just one person dying due to this.
Amazing. Sarika, we've come to the end of the program, but thank you very much for the incredible work you're doing for Rahagiri and for India Vision Zero. And I think all our listeners and thousands of people who listen to us and will watch us, I think we should all be grateful for the incredible work you're doing. Thank you very much.
So it's a very, very, like it's a teamwork and a lot of people involved in this. And I think we also do it in our own capacity. We also do this. That's my request to everyone in this country, because it's really a very serious issue.
Big challenge.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.